Open your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Then would you stand with me? If you have a King James Bible, you read with me. The reason why the punctuation was put in there, so the Bible would be read to the people. So there's a pause at each punctuation. You read with me. We're going to read all 13 verses of Isaiah 55. Let's try to stay together. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we pray for Brother Gatewood's brother. We ask you, Lord, that the operation will be a success, that you will heal him, give him more life and opportunity and blessing. We pray spiritually for his soul, whatever his needs may be, we ask that you'd meet them. We do pray, Lord, for Clara, that she will continue to heal and be out soon and have her strength back and be restored. Lord, we pray for Tony that you will increase her strength, and Lord, that you will give her a good attitude and a desire to live and serve you. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless her. We pray, dear Lord, for this service. I ask that you would touch every heart that's here. Let no one come in here and the Spirit of God not touch them. We ask you, Father, if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul will be saved before it's everlastingly too late. We ask you, Lord, for every child of God, you'll touch our hearts and draw us close to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. I don't know how many times I've preached on Isaiah 55. I don't know how many times I've used this particular verse down here at verses 6 and 7. It's a tremendous invitation verse talking to people about salvation. But that's not my main message today. I want to look at the whole chapter. I looked at this chapter and brought a new message out of it. I don't know how many I've got. I've probably got 4 or 5 on Isaiah 55 somewhere over the years. I'm not sure exactly. But my, what a passage of Scripture. Now, of course, God is talking directly to the nation of Israel right here. He's talking to them and the blessings that he's going to bring to them, and some of that's still the future and it's still going to take place. I'm not dealing with that today. I want to deal with you on the principles that God's got right here in this chapter. Starting with the very first word. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What an invitation. What an invitation. God Almighty is calling down and He said, if you're thirsty. You know the problem with some of us, we go out doing soul winning. Brother Steve should have been here for Sunday school. If you miss Sunday school, you miss some good instruction. Good blessing. But you know the reason why we go out, we knock on doors and we talk to people and we pass out tracts and we have revival meetings and we get people to try to come to preaching. You know what the problem is? They're not thirsty. You know a fellow's thirsty, he knows what he wants.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed that? When I'm thirsty, I don't necessarily want to eat. So I'll offer you some peanuts. I'm thirsty, man. I want water. I don't want peanuts. Is that right? You know what you want. You know the problem with an awful lot of people out here? They're lost. They're lost. They're on the road to hell. Yes, that's true, but they don't know what they want. They don't want to get out of what they're in. They don't realize the situation they're in. They haven't sat out in the pig pen yet long enough eating the husk of this world to decide, I want what Christ has for me. And you notice the invitation, who is it to? He that is thirsty.
Amen.
He that is thirsty. Oh, I remember when I got thirsty. I remember when all of a sudden I feared hell and feared that I might stand under the wrath of God forever. I remember the time when I realized just because you're better than so on, better than someone else over here, just because you do this or that, or because you're a church member, or because you believe a few things about the Bible and God, doesn't matter. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. I got thirsty. You know something? When I got thirsty and on that, in that bedroom in that night, I called upon God Almighty. I found Him. I found Him. And you know, I bet you can look back and when you got saved, you got thirsty. You got thirsty. You wanted it and you knew exactly what you wanted. Now, we had all the girls together and my wife was doing some bragging. And she was bragging on her, you know, they said, well, we were talking about, we were broke up and I was dating another little girl and we were talking about that in high school, about 17 years old, you know. And they said, were you jealous? Were you jealous? Of course she was. But she didn't say so. She said, oh no, I wasn't jealous. Well, why weren't you jealous? Because I knew I could have him anytime I wanted. Woo! Woo! But you know the thing about that? That's true. At 17, she had two boys who wanted to marry her. A fellow named Elroy, a blonde, tall cowboy. And me. And both of us knew what we wanted. But the problem was, the girl we were going after didn't know what she wanted. Drove both of us nuts. Absolutely. I've always been able to make up my mind. And so by the time I was 17, I knew that's the one I wanted. In fact, when we were broke up, I told a friend, asked me, you mind if I date her? I said, date her if you can. I said, but I'm going to marry her. He said, what do you mean? She's going with Elroy right now. I said, that's all right. I'm going to marry her. Hey, I won. I like to tell a good story. Now see, my wife has a problem making decisions. I really think the thing that triggered it for me and how I got her, Elroy was a Catholic and I was a Protestant. I really think when a Sunday school teacher talked to her about what she was going to have to sign her kids off to, whether she ever became a Catholic or not, how those kids, if she married that Catholic boy, those kids are going to be raised Catholic. I believe that's a little trigger that switched it to my side. And I got her all because he was a Catholic and I was a Protestant. Probably neither one of us worth 2 cents. But I've always been able to make up my mind. We walk into a restaurant, if it's a place I've been 2 or 3 times, I don't need a menu. How do you know what you're going to order? Well, I know what's good here. And man, I don't go to a seafood place and buy steak. I don't go to a steak place and buy seafood. I want to find out the specialty of the house, and then I know what's good there. Because you see, I do know what's good. And I get a lot of it.
Some of you don't make decisions real well. Boy, Susan Jackson, Michael's mother. Now, we've been good friends, and there were years they were here, and we would go out to eat together. And we sit there, everybody has ordered, and Susan's still trying to make up her mind. I remember one time, now she's a grown woman, she's 30 years old or so, and Dale ordered four. Ooh, did it make her mad. But we'd all been waiting, the poor waiter sitting there, he just waiting and waiting, and everybody's ordered, and Susan went, I don't know. Dale says, give her this. Ooh, she's a grown woman, man. She does not like daddy ordering for her. But we'd all been there till now. You know why she's so thin? She can't make up her mind when she gets to a menu. She never knows what she wants to eat. Well, now my wife has that problem. One of the reasons why she's kept me around for 46 years is because I can make decisions. They're not always right, but I can make them and live with the consequences. I do make decisions. And at 17, I knew which girl I wanted. So I started dating at 12. So by 17, I was well experienced. And I was ready to settle down. Can you believe that? Some of you guys don't get ready to settle down. You're 35. I was ready to settle down at 17. I wanted a wife. I wanted to stop all this running around chasing skirts. I just wanted to chase one. And I did. One of the best things that ever happened to me in my life. Somebody said, oh, you married too young. I was pastoring a church out in the country, and the head deacon there, he and his wife married at 16. I said, we're going to have a hard time counseling these kids to wait, aren't we? When the pastor and the number one deacon all got married 16, 17, 18 years old. Do you know what you want? See, some of you don't know what you want. You're grabbing for the world with one hand, and you're grabbing for the Lord with the other. You really don't want to give up on the Lord, but you don't want to give up on the world either. You really don't want to give up for God, and yet you don't want to give up for the devil either. You just sort of sit around in no man's land, and you keep looking at the menu of life, and you never know when to make a decision. I found out about 17, I said, that's the girl I want, and I'm going to marry her if I can do it, whatever. And I did. Haven't been sorry. Oh, there's a few times I've been sorry. Oh, yeah. I woke up a few times, thought I must have been stupid, blind, and drunk when I married this woman. And I wasn't any of them. See, living with anybody for that many years is a tough thing to do. Mr. Jackson, Michael's grandfather, they're just celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this time. That's something ought to be celebrated. You make 50 years of the same person, boy, you ought to be bragged on. Because everybody's had their bad days. Everybody's had their troubles. Everybody's had their time when they questioned whatever they did, whatever decision they made. But the problem with some of us right in this room right here, born-again Christians, is we don't know what we want. And he said, ho, everyone that thirsteth. A thirsty man knows what he wants. He's not left up to doubt. He is thirsty. He's got cotton on his tongue. They had a football player die of heat stroke. And I remember when I played football in San Antonio, August and September. Good. And our coach thought you sissy if you had to have any water in a practice. You was out there for 2 hours and they wouldn't give you ice. They wouldn't give you a drink of water. And if you thought you needed water, you were a sissy. So you had to be tough. You don't take the cotton in your mouth. We knew we were thirsty. Head for the shower, you just opened up your mouth under the shower. You didn't worry about getting clean. You just want to get something down you. When you're thirsty, you know it. And I tell you what, when you find out you want God, and when you really get thirsty for God, you'll know it and you'll find God. And the problem with some of you, the reason why you're walking around and have not found God yet, God is not filling your life yet, your life isn't straightened out yet, you're not thirsty. That's your problem. Look who the invitation is to. Everyone that thirsteth. Do you know what you want? We're getting ready to have a revival meeting. Do you know what you want? You got any prayers already set out? You got any burdens you've got before the Lord? Is there anybody you're praying to get saved during this 10-day meeting? You know what you want? The problem is you're not thirsty. You don't have your goal. You're not hungry for something. You're not burdened over that lost soul. You're not burdened over that daughter or that son or that mother or that father or that best friend. You're not thirsty yet. Until you get thirsty, you won't get what you want. Think about that. Some of you sit back and say, well, I'll evaluate this and I'll evaluate that. And, well, that looks good and that looks good. And you just keep vacillating back and forth. You can't ever make a decision. And so you sit here in no man's land because you're not thirsty for God. You're not thirsty for righteousness. You're not thirsty for the Holy Spirit. You're not thirsty to have God's will in your life. Until you get there, you'll just keep on vacillating, running from one decision to the next, picking the world this week, picking God next week, choosing what the Bible says this week, and choosing what the television says next week. You just keep running back and forth because you never really are thirsty. You know, the second verse, ask a question. My daddy asked me this type of question many times. My daddy was lost everything in the Depression. And after the Depression, at 38 years old, he had to start working for other people. He had a dump truck business, a filling station, and a grocery store. I had the books that was left over from his work, and he had $15,000 in Depression money owed him that never was paid off. You know, he knew how to pinch his pennies. He was tightwad. Well, he was generous with us, don't get me wrong. But as far as for himself, he didn't spend any money on himself. He hated debt. He was afraid of debt. And he would ask me. I'd make some big money. I'd be driving a truck for cleaners, or I'd be working someplace else, and I'd make some money, and boy, I'd take me a fancy date out, and woo, we'd have it and blow that money. Come back, and Daddy'd say, what you got left to show for it? I'd have some big money, and I'd go down and spend it, and I'd take off, go to the coast, and we'd go fishing or something like that, and swimming and whatever, and come back, and you'd say, well, what do you got to show for it? He was always asking me these hard questions. Isn't it terrible? Some people, they just can't think, well, he had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. What do you got left to show for it? Well, that's what God's asking here. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Have any of you awakened to the fact that the way you're living doesn't satisfy? See, that's another thing. People just keep on doing the same old things that never really bring them success. But they just keep doing them. They just keep going back and drinking. They just keep going back to the dope. And the more dope they get, the more they need. The more drink you have, the more you need. They just keep going back to fun and pleasure. And it's all over in a very short time. And you're not satisfied. Let me tell you something. You have a spot down inside your soul that only God can satisfy. And you can't satisfy it with anything else. There is not enough booze in San Antonio to satisfy that spot if you're not right with God. There's not enough dope in San Antonio, and there's probably plenty, to satisfy that spot down inside of you that only God can satisfy. And you can buy all the new cars you want, and you can be so proud of their shine. You can buy that big house. You can build that big house. You can get this job. You can go for this career. But if you don't get that spot that God needs to fill inside your life, you'll never find the satisfaction you need. It won't be fine. Why would you spend your money for that which is not bread? What do you got left out of all your labor? Some of you labored for years. What do you got? Have any souls? Is there anybody called upon the Lord because you talked to them? Is there anybody you prayed through? Is there anybody you knocked on the door and they said, yes, I would like to accept Christ? Is there anybody sitting inside this church building because you invited them? What do you have left to show for all the labor that you put out? Oh, you got a boat, two boats, car, two cars. Got a little piece of land, got a house somewhere, got a job, wear some nice clothes, got some jewelry on your fingers. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why do you spend your labor for that which satisfieth not? Now, man, those are some pretty heavy questions. Pretty heavy questions. What are you living for? Are you just existing till you die? Or do you have a purpose in your life? Or are you just one of those that just sort of floating along, and if God gives you another day, you'll enjoy what you can, but you have no direction. You can't make up your mind. You can't make a decision and stick with it. You don't know what you want. And everything you're doing is not satisfying down inside that soul. And I want you to understand, without God, you cannot get satisfaction there. You got to be in the will of God. You got to find God, be in His will, put Him into your life, or you'll never know the peace and the satisfaction that you ought to know. Now look down at one of the most famous verses in the Bible, verse 6. My, how many homes I've sat in and read this verse. How many people I've walked up and talked to and read them this verse. Verse 7, really. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now there's two operative words right here. Very important things. He said, forsake. Let the wicked forsake his way, and then let him return unto the Lord. Two important words. Forsake and return. Some of you are miserable today because you're not in the will of God. You're miserable today because you got sin messing around with your life. You're miserable today because you sort of wandered away. Oh, there was a time when you read your Bible, and there was a time when you prayed, and there was a time when you even witnessed. There was a time when you had a joy in the Lord. You don't have it now, and you haven't had it for a while. You know why? You got some wicked ways, and you got some unrighteous thoughts.
Amen.
You've allowed the world, the devil, whoever, your friends, your neighbors, maybe your own family, you've allowed them to come in and take over the way you think rather than letting God lead you the way you think. Some of you are going the wrong way. You're just absolutely doing the wrong thing. I don't know why Christians do it, but we do. We have such a propensity to sin, such an inclination to sin, such a desire to sin rather than to live for God, that we get ourselves out of the way of God and put ourselves in the way of wickedness.
Yeah, that's right.
Most of it starts because we think wrong.
Amen. Amen.
Almost all sin starts in the mind.
That's right.
You hear about somebody that all of a sudden they just jump up and leave their family and run off with somebody else. Well, look at that. It's so sudden. No, it wasn't sudden. It wasn't sudden. You think it's sudden because you just see the outward result of what happened. But what happened was they began to think wrong sometime before they ever started doing the wrong.
That's right.
They began to entertain the thoughts. And so sometimes you have to forsake some ways and return unto the Lord. Now notice the promise God gives on this verse. It said, for He will have mercy. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This last week I used 1 John 1:9 several times. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it so simple? What's my part? Confession. Not penance, not money, not sacrifice, not crawling on my hands and knees to some church somewhere, not carrying a cross through the streets, not wearing a great big banner down and think, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, says if we confess. And what's God's part? Forgive and cleanse. God's going to do it. Do you think God wouldn't do His part if you do yours? Oh, God's going to do His part. You just need to do yours. And look at this. It says right here, let him forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. How can you get a bigger, more expansive, more inclusive promise than that? What you need to do is back off of what you're doing and seek the Lord. Return unto Him, and what will He do? He will have mercy, and He will pardon. Now the next couple of verses tell you why that works and why you don't think that way. You say, it can't be. I don't know how many people I've talked to over these last 44 years that said, that's too simple. That's too easy. God can't forgive people like that. God can't save people like that. No, no, they got to work hard. And God's going to save the righteous. God's going to save those that work hard. God's going to save those that do this and do that and do something else. It can't be that easy. I remember in a Muslim temple, Muslim mosque one night, I gave the same truth of the gospel, the simple gospel of Christ, that he could save anybody. And all those men stood up against me and said, it can't be that way. That would be unfair. That's not right. You know what your problem is? You don't think like God.
That's right.
Now notice this verse here. Verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what God asks you to do? He asks you to believe it. That's the message. That's the message I have in my Bible. Believe it. Faith. Salvation is by faith without the works of the law. You know what the man's thoughts are? No, God's going to save those that work the hardest. God's going to save those that are the most religious. God's going to save those that are the most sincere. God's going to save those that give the most. God's going to save those that sacrifice the most. That's not what the Bible says. He said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
And when he said, forsake, I'm going the wrong way, I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm thinking the wrong thoughts, and I forsake those things. I don't want to think that way, I don't want to go that way, I don't want to do that thing anymore, and I return unto the Lord, and God has mercy. And God has pardon. Abundant pardon. You know why? His thoughts aren't like your thoughts. You ever figured that out? Some of you parents, I'm a grandparent. All my kids are grown. My baby's 28 years old. My oldest ones are 44 and 43. I got a lot of experience. I taught a bunch of kids. I taught teenagers for 20 years in the inner city of San Antonio. Did you know that a 13-year-old doesn't think like a 35-year-old? They don't think that way. I can remember when I was 17 standing up to my father, who was 35 years older than me. I was the baby. And I remember looking at him and he would say, oh, if I could put a 40-year-old head on that 17-year-old body. He was in pain because of my 17-year-old thinking or my 13-year-old thinking. Don't be so big to push out, friend. You don't think the same. What do? Keep talking to them. Keep talking to those 17-year-olds and those 13-year-olds and those 20-year-olds, Donnie. I'm not sure you're back in the human race yet. Your daddy's optimistic. It might take 25 or 30. I'm sorry, Donnie. I pick on you. Your daddy picks on you, so I'll pick on you. Do you know what I'm trying to say? God does not think like we think. Just as my children could not understand me when I'm trying to explain something to them, just as their mind would not work like mine, they could not see the fear, they could not see the danger, they could not see the problem, they could not see what it might cost them in the rest of their life if they kept on going the direction they're going. Just the same way you mature, born-again Christians don't think like God. How much more this lost world doesn't think like God. His ways are a lot higher. His thoughts are different. That's why we have a Bible. This tells us how God thinks. Now when you by faith can take this book as what God thinks and find out what God has to say, you just might make a few good decisions. As long as you still think you're the greatest mind in the world and that you will have to be consulted before wisdom is found, we don't stand much of a chance, do we? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Well, let me tell you what God said His way is. He said, you forsake your sin, you return to the Lord, He will have mercy and abundantly pardon. He said that we confess our sins. We confess our sins. What do we do? Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look down at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 10 right before speaks of rain. how God brings the rain down from the heaven, and we don't ever see the rain go back to heaven, and yet here before long the rain comes again, and certainly Texas needs rain right now. But because we live in Texas, we know we go from drought to flood, drought to flood, drought to flood is our policy, our life. That's the way it goes. That's the way God's put it. And you live here, so that's what you got to live with. But just as the rain comes down from heaven, have you ever noticed how much better your garden does when it gets the right rain? It's amazing. All that good water you pump up from down in some aquifer underneath your land and you spread it on, it just doesn't do the same thing. But when it rains on it, it just does it some good. It just does it better. When God's rain comes, it'll do it. Now, God said His Word was like the rain. Just as the rain accomplishes the purpose of God, His Word's going to accomplish His purpose. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Here again, God's thoughts are different than your thoughts. What is it if I went to a corporation and a business and I told them some sales plan that I might have? They want to know the bottom line. How many sales will we get from this? How much profit will come out of this? How much cost will be here? And they will put it down to the bottom line. But God said, you put my word out. He didn't give you any profit motive. He didn't give you any idea what tremendous results you're going to get. In fact, over in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, He lists the faithful throughout the Old Testament. And some of them He listed that were not very successful. He said they were sown apart. Saws. They took saws and cut them up. Some of them lived in caves and dens. Some of them didn't get out of prison. Some of them died destitute. And He said, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy. You think because you're not exactly successful in business that you're not successful with the Lord? Not necessarily so. I've known a lot of people successful in business that weren't successful with the Lord. And I've known some Christians that were faithful to God when they were broke, and when they made a lot of money, it just got them in trouble. Cost them and hurt them. Money's hard for people to handle. Only a few people can handle money well, not let it hurt them spiritually. Only a few. That's why God always kept me poor. He knew I couldn't handle it. So shall my word be. What are you going to do? I'm going to preach the word. What are you going to do? How about passing out the word? What are you going to do? How about tell somebody what God says? They say, well, I don't think that way. I don't like that. That's not the way I think. That's not what I want. Remember, God's thoughts are not your thoughts, and God's ways are not your ways, but you put His word out just like the rain, and as it falls upon it, and God's going to get the increase. It's going to come. Now look back at verse 3. Got two verses where God tells you what you need to do. Verse 3, incline your ear, come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. I don't know what your condition is today. You may be a Christian in real trouble. You may be a lost person in here seeking the Lord. Or you may be somebody just happens to be here because mom and daddy brought me, or because you happen to wander in off the streets. I don't have an idea. But you know what God tells you to do? Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Man, how about a simple, sweet, kind invitation? No threats there. No great commands. No hard words. No harsh words. Come unto me. Hear. Incline your ear, and your soul shall live. Look down at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Four tremendous invitation words in this one chapter. Verse 3, come, hear. Verse 6, seek and call. Come, hear, seek, and call. I do love this chapter. I think it's such a beautiful invitation for you to come to God. Why would you stay dissatisfied? Why would you stay a far away from a God who loves like this? Why would you turn down the greatest invitation the world has ever known? Come, incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. Oh,
best day of my life was September 1st, 1957. That's when I got saved. Absolute best gift I ever got. Jesus saved my soul and changed my life. He can do the same for you today. Man or woman, boy or girl, old or young, if you're here and the Spirit of God has touched your heart, I can't do that. Oh, I can persuade you. I can reason with you. I can maybe get your attention. But I want you to know only God moves in the heart. And if God's invitation has come to you, trust Him to save your soul. Step out and give yourself to Him. Seek Him while He may be found. You see, He can be found today. I've got the promise of God's Word. God can be found today. But if you're in the morgue tomorrow, you'll meet Him. You won't find Him. You'll meet Him, but you won't find Him. Seek you the Lord while He may be found. He can be found today. I am a preacher of the gospel. One of the best things God ever did for me was call me to preach. I love it. I'm having more fun this morning than any of you. I have more fun, have had more fun in most of my life than most people will ever have. God not only saved my soul, He called me to preach the greatest message the world's ever heard. And some people I've preached to will live forever. That's a great thrill. That's a great thrill. Why don't you come, incline your ear here, and let your soul live? Why don't you seek the Lord while He may be found? Why don't you call upon Him while He is near? You see, my Bible tells me where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Have you seen the sign out front? We meet in the name of Jesus. We don't meet in the name of Baptist. Jesus and Baptist aren't spelled the same, so I know they're different. We don't meet in the name of Methodist or Catholic or Pentecostal or what. We meet in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what He said? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus Christ is right here. In the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's in this room. You say, I can't feel Him. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Sometimes maybe you're not tuned in. You see, inside this room, there's probably 500 channels of television could be gotten right here. All you have to have is a receiver. Inside this room, there's probably 500 radio stations. And there's probably police calls going across and airplane calls coming through. All of those things are in here. You're just not tuned in. They're here. Well, I want you to know God's here. You need to tune in. You need to tune in. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Let me tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and what He did there has the power to forgive every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit and the sins of the whole world. That's how powerful it is. He can handle your little measly problems. They're not big to Him. Oh, I got a lot of problems that look too big to me. Man, every once in a while I think, oh, Lord, this, you know, I'm too old for this. I say, I'm too old for this. Or I'll say, oh, Lord, I don't want to deal with that. But God never has been caught in a fix. You've never put God in a problem. He can handle everything you've got. All you need to do is come to Him. Are you like some people who can't make up their mind? Are you like some people who never know what they want? Well, He gave an invitation to the thirsty. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Amen. Buy wine and milk without money, without price. That's a tremendous invitation. Amen. I give you that same invitation. If you're here and you're a Christian, you need to pray about some things, this altar is open. Come on down and pray while God's here. If you're here and you're lost, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ and be saved today, this morning, while we sing number 249. This altar's open. 249. Will you come to God just as you are? Will you come pray? God Almighty hears and answers prayer. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you revived. He wants you blessed. Sing it out. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for all the blessings You've given us. I pray You'd hear and answer the prayers that are prayed in this place. Some of Your children, Lord, are seeking Your face. I pray to You, Lord, You'd give them Your very best answer.
I do pray for Paul is going to be baptized. I pray, dear God, that you will lead him. Lord, you'll grow him up in you. You'll bless him that he might live for you all the rest of the days of his life. I ask your blessing upon him. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.